Well, good afternoon, brethren. It's good to be here. Good to see you. As Carl said, those of you that are not campers, I'm not a camper, so I can understand. Well, I thought that this would be a good time to give a message about fasting, especially in light of the Day of Atonement, which we will be keeping 1 week from today. Now, some of the material in this message that I'm about to give to you is based on an article by Mr. Don Hooser, H-O-O-S-E-R, and information from our website, our UCG.org website, as well as some of my own material. But I want to acknowledge some of my sources here. Well, let's begin this message about fasting by defining the term fast. Unger's Bible Dictionary explains that fast is from the Hebrew word sum, S-U-M, meaning to cover, as in covering the mouth, or from the Greek word in the New Testament, nesteo, N-E-S-T-E-U-O, meaning to abstain. So fasting in general means to abstain from food and drink for a period of time. Now, why do people fast in general? Well, people can fast for a variety of reasons, such as before surgery. You don't want food in your system that can complicate during the surgery or immediately afterward and have complications. And sometimes people may fast to detoxify or to go without food for a time for other health purposes. And really, all of us fast every day, a fast that is broken by what we call breakfast. We, of course, fast as we sleep. And we all spend a lot of time over the course of our lifetime caring for our physical body, which is well and good. We should be. But as Spirit-led Christians, brethren, God calls us to place our priority on our spiritual life. And with God's Spirit within us, this introduces a new perspective, a different perspective on fasting. We're called to look beyond this physical life and the comfort that we could continuously give to ourselves at something that is much bigger than that. Something that is bigger and far better than the physical. Our preparation for the kingdom of God, for God's family, and for our sonship in that family. This life is about our preparation for it and all that that entails. But in order to help us with our calling and our spiritual growth, as God is preparing us, He's given us powerful tools to help us do that. And of course, these tools, we're all familiar with them, are Bible study, prayer, meditation, and yes, fasting. And to the world, to those in the world, these tools can seem to be not very effective. But to the Spirit-led Christian, to us, they are extremely effective. So let's take a look today at the benefits of fasting. One of our favorite things to do. It's not easy to do it, is it? But let's look at some benefits of fasting and how they help us to grow. Point number one, fasting helps to humble us. Of course, that's very obvious as we're fasting, that it leads us to humility, doesn't it? You know, God delights in a humble heart. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 66, a very familiar scripture in Isaiah chapter 66. We'll read verses 1 through 2. What catches the attention of God? Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1. Thus says the Lord, "Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word." The eyes of God are upon him who is poor contrite or repentant, and who trembles at God's word. And that person is small in his own eyes and is teachable. That person has a humble heart, and that is a delight to God, that we would be small in our own eyes and to be truly humble. Notice in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, the words of our Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as he was giving the Beatitudes to us and to his disciples at that time. He says in verse 3 of Matthew 5, verse 3, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." Blessed are those that are truly humble and small in their own eyes. And there are many scriptures that talk about this, brethren, but God will exalt them later, after they are humble, because they look to God and are true servants of God and others. And that's the kind of servant that we are to be, a humble servant. So how humble are we? And how humble am I? I ask myself. Fasting naturally helps us to think about these things, to humble us, because we are by nature self-centered. We have this nature inside of us that we must continuously fight. But God says, I want you to become God-centered, not self-centered. And all of us need to grow in this area, all of us. The major purpose of fasting is to learn humility, to be reminded of how weak, sinful, and needy we really are. And when we fast, how quickly our physical strength fades without food and water. Then we see how great we really are, don't we? When you're fasting and you feel that weakness. In Psalm 109, if you'll turn there with me to Psalm 109, we'll read verses 21 through 27. David writes about fasting. Psalm 109, we'll read verses 21 through 27. This is Psalm 109, verse 21. But you, O God, the Lord, deal with me for your name's sake, because your mercy is good. Deliver me, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like a shadow when it lengthens. I am shaken off like a locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh is feeble from lack of fatness. I have also become a reproach to them. When they look at me, they shake their heads. Help me, O Lord my God. O save me according again to your mercy, that they may know that this is your hand, that you, Lord, have done it. As he was fasting, David was humbled by his weakness and how much he needed God to deliver him and to help him, how feeble he was in and of himself. And that fasting that is mentioned here in verse 24 helped him to focus those thoughts, because fasting helps you to have clarity of thought about yourself, about what we really are and what we need from God. David was humble, and he deeply understood how much he needed God's mercy and help, as he wrote here, as he was fasting, or right afterward. Fasting helps to humble us and remind us of our desperate need for God. Yes, it is desperate need. We need God to help us. And if you think that you don't, then you're not truly humble. We need God. Fasting is a powerful spiritual tool to help us. And this is one of the elements and one of the benefits. It helps to humble us. Let's look at point number two of the benefit of fasting and an element of fasting. And that is that fasting is tied into repentance. If you'll turn with me to Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 and 9. Jonah chapter 3. I believe it's right before Micah. Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 and 9. Probably can guess what this was about. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 1, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach it the message that I tell you.' So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent." So it was very large for those days. "And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, 'Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown.' So what did the people do? So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, 'Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands.' Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish?" People of Nineveh repented and they fasted. And not only them, but even their animals with them. They believed what Jonah was saying was from God, and they turned to God in repentance. And they were fasting. Fasting is connected to repentance. Notice in Daniel chapter 9, we'll read verses 3 through 5. Daniel chapter 9, read verses 3 through 5. This is Daniel writing here and praying this to the Lord in this account. "Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, 'O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments.'" Daniel's prayer of repentance to God in front of the people for his own sin and the sins of the people was accompanied by fasting. You see, fasting helps to clear the mind about our sins, doesn't it? To see them more clearly and to repent of them if we're truly humble during the fast. Repentance must always accompany a fast as it focuses our minds on our physical and our spiritual weaknesses, that we need to repent of our sins to our God. As we humble ourselves before Him, when we fast, brethren, do we remember to repent? Point number three, there are 6 points. Point number three is fasting draws us closer to God. If you'll turn next to Exodus chapter 34, we'll read verses 27 and 28 in Exodus chapter 34. Exodus 34, verse 27, 28. Then the Lord said to Moses. Now, by way of introduction, Moses went up on the mountain to be with God and to receive the Ten Commandments. Let's pick up in verse 27. Then the Lord said to Moses, write these words, for according to the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. So he, Moses, was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Moses drew near to God on the mountain. And can you imagine, brethren, what that must have been like to go up on this mountain? After God had worked these fantastic miracles to bring the Israelites out of Egypt, to bring them to that point, and then for Moses to go up on the mountain alone to talk with God and to get the Ten Commandments. And he fasted while he was up there. Because fasting has a way of focusing the mind on God. It has a way of clearing away the clutter in our minds so we can think about what is really important. And that's what Moses did when he was up there on the mountain with God. Notice in Acts chapter 17, we'll read verses 28. There's an account here of when the Apostle Paul was in Athens. And he says something that is very profound and it'll be very familiar to us as we've read it. Before Acts 17, verse 28. This always has struck me because you can really think about this. In Acts chapter 17, verse 28, excuse me if I said 24 before, it's Acts 17, 28. Paul says to the Athenians, for in him, in God, we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Do you think about this, brethren, that it is by God that we are alive and that we have our movement and our being? We can understand this more deeply when we fast. It's brought to the forefront of our mind. And we see how completely dependent we are on God. If the food that we eat is cut off for just a short time, how much we can start to feel it. But even our very life itself, it all came from God. As He sustains us. And He in fact sustains the universe itself. God provides for us. And especially in this country, as we are blessed tremendously physically, God provides for us. And He provides for us spiritually as well. All that we know and experience and all that we are, we owe to God, to His grace and mercy toward us. This alone should humble us and draw us closer to God as we think about these things during a fast. Do you think about God and what He has done for you and for all of us? Because again, fasting can clear the clutter away in your mind so you can think about these things during the fast. And that thinking can be more focused. In James 4, verse 8, we won't turn there, but it's a very familiar scripture. James writes, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Fasting is a powerful tool to help us draw closer to God. Ask God to help you realize this benefit of drawing nearer to him as you fast. Ask him to help you to draw nearer to him and think about these things. Point number four. Fasting is a powerful tool for spiritual growth and strengthening. There's an amazing story in the Gospels, and we'll read Mark's version in Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. At the end of the story, Jesus makes a very interesting comment. This is Mark 9, verse 14 through 29. Mark chapter 9, verse 14, we'll begin. When he, Jesus, came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he, Jesus, asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood." Can you imagine this horrible situation? "And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." They thought the boy was dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And so he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." By prayer and fasting. So why would fasting be required to cast out this demon? Because spiritual strengthening that was needed the fast would help to bring. Fasting can lead to spiritual strengthening as we humble ourselves and draw near to God and repent. It helps us to see how weak we really are and cry out to God for help. And this helps us to yield to God's Spirit within us, the power that strengthens us. So that is why fasting would have been needed to cast out a demon of this type. And the apostles later would fast, and they later would have that power. But we need strength, brethren, from God. And fasting helps us to yield to His Spirit, the Spirit that strengthens us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, the Apostle Paul brings out a profound concept. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, concept that ties in to fasting. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, Paul writes to the Corinthians, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." When we humble ourselves, brethren, then God can teach us and lead us by His Spirit as we yield to it. And we grow spiritually and are strengthened as a result. Fasting is a powerful tool to help us, to help us to grow in strength as we yield to God's Spirit within us. Here in 2 Corinthians in chapter 13, very close by, Paul continues. He says in verse 4 of chapter 13, "For though he was crucified in weakness," though Jesus was crucified in weakness, "yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you." We are weak in and of ourselves, but we shall live with him, with Christ, by the power of God. We are strengthened now. We're given strength now and empowered now as we live with him by the Holy Spirit within us. And we will be given eternal life by that same power of God within us later, just as Jesus was resurrected from the dead. We are strengthened now and empowered now to live with Christ by the Holy Spirit within us. And how incredible is that? In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul talks some more about strengthening. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. He writes to the Philippians, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And we know that Paul went through a great deal, through shipwrecks, bitten by serpents, thrown in prison, persecuted, beaten, arrested. He was given incredible strength to get through all of that and to endure in his life. And how? He says, "By Jesus Christ who strengthened me." By Jesus Christ who lived with him through the Holy Spirit within him that strengthened him to get through those trials. And Paul saw that when he was weak, he was strong, when he relied on God. It's a profound concept that ties into fasting when we are reminded how weak we really are. You know, God wants us to hunger and thirst for righteousness, not just for physical food. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, Jesus says this. Let's turn there. We're not far away. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, and again, one of the Beatitudes, he writes that Jesus is recorded here, it's his words, Matthew 5, verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. When we fast, in addition to reinforcing the fact that God is the one who sustains us and supplies us, supplies our needs, we're also reminded that we become spiritually weaker when we neglect the spiritual nourishment of prayer, Bible study, meditation, and other spiritual efforts in our lives. You know, we see that when we don't physically nourish ourselves, what happens and how quickly it happens. Do you think about what happens spiritually when you let down and you don't allow yourself to be nourished spiritually? How it weakens you and opens you up for big problems. Fasting helps us again to look beyond ourselves, to be rejuvenated, to seek the things of God and His kingdom first, to see that priority of how much more important the spiritual is and how the physical can remind us of that. Point number five. Another reason to fast is to ask God for help in serious situations for ourselves or for others. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles verse 20. 2 Chronicles verse 20. We'll read verses 1 through 3. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against King Jehoshaphat, and those at Jerusalem. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazan Tamar, which is En Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. And what did he do? He proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And we know what happened, brethren. This is a familiar story. God told Jehoshaphat and those there with him that he would fight the battle. And he did. They were all defeated by a much smaller force. And they ended up again fighting against each other because God was fighting for them. But they cried out to God. We don't have time to read all of this story. But Jehoshaphat cried out to God and asked for help. And they fasted. Fasting is a powerful spiritual tool. We'll talk about more just a little bit later about this, about asking God for help. But let's consider, we won't read the whole story, but in Esther 4, verse 16, it's not too far away. In Esther 4, verse 16, we're all familiar with that story of how the Jews were going to be literally destroyed and how Esther had to go to the king. And he had a golden scepter. And if he didn't hold the scepter out and touch her with it, she would have been killed because she needed to be summoned and she was going to go to him without being summoned. But notice, before she went, in verse 16 of Esther 4, Esther 4, verse 16, she says, "Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither drink nor eat for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law, without being summoned. And if I perish, I perish." She risked her life to go to the king, and it ultimately saved the Jews from annihilation, which was God's will, and she was God's instrument. Fasting helps to clear our minds, brethren, as we seek what? As we seek God's will. We are not to ask God for anything except forgiveness, mercy, and help from Him. According to His will, we're not to try to impose our own will upon God in a fast, ever. We are to be humble before Him. To ask God to help you to see and understand His will. And to ask for mercy. And we know how that situation turned out with Esther. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 through 6, if you'll turn there with me to Paul's writings to the Ephesians in chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 5 and 6. Paul writes to the Ephesians in verse 5 of Ephesians 6. He says, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as in Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." Doing the will of God from the heart, not our own will. How easy it is to try to make God do our will. Instead, we need to be asking God to help us to see His will. And fasting can help you to do so. It's a powerful tool, a powerful spiritual tool to help us to see God's will, to seek His mercy and His forgiveness and His help and guidance according to His will. Point number 6, our last point, as we consider this powerful tool of fasting. Fasting is a powerful way to serve others. You may think, to serve others as I'm fasting. But consider in Luke chapter 2, verse 36. If you'll turn there with me to Luke chapter 2, verse 36. This is Luke chapter 2, verse 36. I'll wait for everyone to get there. I can hear some shuffling. We were quite a ways away back in Esther. Luke chapter 2, verse 36. We were in Ephesians, not Esther, before this. You're not losing your mind. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers day and night. Now can you imagine this, brethren, the devotion of this woman, who had been a widow for 84 years, to fast and pray day and night near the temple. And the account, not in this area, but earlier, it says that she was blessed to see Jesus as a child, as Mary and Joseph brought Jesus, the young Jesus, into the temple. But consider for a moment, fasting and praying for others and serving them in that way. That's taking things to a new level, isn't it? A new level of service. In Psalm 35, if you'll turn there next, Psalm 35, verse 11 and 14, David talks about this. Psalm 35, verse 11. He writes, Psalm 35, verse 11, "Fierce witnesses rise up. They ask me things that I do not know. They reward me evil for good to the sorrow of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own heart. I paced about as though he were my friend or brother. I bow down heavily as one who mourns for his mother." David fasted for those who persecuted him and returned evil for good to him. This is true outgoing concern for others, isn't it? This is serving others unconditionally, like God does. And have you ever considered doing this for someone that has deeply hurt you? It will certainly have a great impact on you to fast and pray for those that despitefully use you and hurt you. David did. So did Anna, the prophetess. She prayed and fasted continuously in the temple. It doesn't specifically say if she was fasting for enemies. I get the feeling she was fasting for everyone. But let's consider this concept briefly in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. This concept of what we should do about those who hurt us. And I preach to myself about this as well. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Jesus says, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good for those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." And we'll stop there. Are you willing to pray for those who spitefully use you? Are you willing to fast for them as well? Because fasting greatly enhances your prayers. Can you do this as David did? And I ask myself that question as well. This is one of the ways that David was a man after God's own heart. Prayer and fasting, brethren, go hand in hand. Fasting magnifies your prayers and is a powerful way to serve others, to fast and pray for others. So we have seen these aspects of the powerful spiritual tool of fasting, how it helps us to learn humility, how it's connected to repentance, and that we should always have an attitude of repentance when we fast. And we come before God in that way and fast before Him. How it draws us closer to God. And how it helps us to grow spiritually. And it leads to spiritual strengthening. How it's a powerful tool to seek God's will and His help for ourselves and others in serious situations. And how it's a powerful way to serve others, especially when combined with prayer. Well, I hope you will think about the purpose and benefits of this powerful spiritual tool of fasting. And I hope you will use this powerful tool in your life. Our spiritual life and growth must be our main focus. It must be. But now let's consider here at the end, just briefly, why do we fast on the Day of Atonement? And I think I've mentioned this before. I was not raised in God's church. I was raised a Catholic. And I remember my first fast. I was 23 years old or something like that. And I remember thinking, if this day is about Satan being put away, why am I fasting? Well, it's because the day means more than even that, which is important. But the day represents an event that is surely coming in the future when Satan will be banished from influencing mankind after the horrible devastation that will have had occurred on this earth before Christ returns. But it also represents when mankind, freed from Satan's influence, from his evil influence, will finally be humbled and repentant. A time when mankind will finally be reconciled to God. And that has never happened before, when mankind in general would be reconciled to God until the return of Jesus Christ and Satan is banished. Fasting on the Day of Atonement reminds us of our reconciliation to God as well as that future reconciliation for all mankind. And as we fast on the Holy Day, a week from today, we're humbled and reminded of our need for continued repentance and our need to draw closer to God, as we've talked about today. It reminds us that we are weak and need God to strengthen us and to help us grow spiritually. It drives home the profound fact that when we are weak in ourselves, we are spiritually strong with God's help, as we saw in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10. And we should always remember that it is in God that we have our life and our being and our movement, that we saw in Acts 17, verse 28. Think about these things when you're fasting. We owe everything to our loving Father. We owe everything to Him. Everything that we have now. and everything that we will have to an even greater degree in the future, an astonishingly greater degree. It is to God's credit and to His glory. You know, He's opened your mind, brethren. He's opened our mind to see and understand these things. Think about them as you use the powerful spiritual tool of fasting on the Day of Atonement this year, and as you use it at other times during the year as part of your spiritual life and your spiritual growth. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath.